Well, good morning, friends at Westview. Nice to be with you. I'm sorry we can't be together in the flesh, but this is a wonderful opportunity to talk to you. And Audrey and I miss seeing you, and we miss being with you very much. But we pray each day for God's blessing on Westview, and we look forward to getting together again one day in the will of God. So, I want to share a few thoughts today and next time we're together about the book of Daniel. Two stories from the book of Daniel. And today we're thinking about God's ability. I don't know, do you sometimes feel that you can't do something? Or somebody says to you, I'd like you to do this. Maybe your mom or your dad, they say, I want you to do this. And you say, oh, I can't do it. Now, what you really mean, of course, you don't want to do it. Well, I don't really mean that. I mean, there are some things that we would like to do, but we can't do them. Especially these days with this COVID problem. We can't do a lot of things. But, you know, we have a God who can do all things. That's wonderful. For example, there is a verse in Romans chapter 4 talking about Abraham, and it says that he believed that God was able to keep his promise. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? To know that all the promises of God he is able to perform. Sometimes we make a promise, but we are unable to fulfill it for some reason or another. But Abraham believed that God was able to fulfill his promise. And then if you go over to Paul's letter to the Ephesians in chapter 3, we read that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to his power in Christ Jesus. God can do all things. Well, there are many other verses, but I want to get to this story. It's the story of Daniel's three friends, and you can read about it in the book of Daniel, chapter 3. Now, their names, when they came, first of all, to Babylon, were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Well, they were young men who lived in Jerusalem back in the 6th century B.C. And so, when Nebuchadnezzar came along and captured the city of Jerusalem, they were taken prisoner. Now, although Nebuchadnezzar did some foolish things, he was wise enough to realize that it would be a good idea to take the intellectual people from Jerusalem and use them to help him in his kingdom. And so he takes Daniel and these three young men, and they become a part of his wise men, as he calls them. And they help him rule the kingdom. Now, at this time, the empire of Babylon was very big. It included all kinds of countries in the Middle East. Today, of course, we think of it as Iraq. And Babylon would be situated somewhere near the river Tigris. You remember there are two rivers, Tigris and Euphrates, and the old city of Babylon, which was a very beautiful place apparently, was near the river. Well, nowadays, if you try and find Babylon, I don't think you'll be very successful. It's just a little old place that's all kind of run down. But back in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, it was a very beautiful city, and he had a wonderful empire. So these three young men arrived in the city of Babylon with their friend Daniel. And they decided that they really didn't want to share in the idolatry of Babylon, and they didn't want to share in the kind of festivities that went on. And so they asked if they could be excused eating the special food that was dedicated to the idols of Babylon. Well, they did that, and they were able to eat their just regular meals, and strangely enough, they seemed to be more healthy than all the rest of the wise men. They were taken, of course, for testing and proved to be very wise. They were able to make great decisions. Well, now, Nebuchadnezzar decided that he didn't really like their names, so he was going to give them three names that sort of represented his strange gods. And so they were called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Very strange names. I don't think anybody in Westview has any of those names. I remember one preacher, apparently he got lost and he couldn't remember their names, and so he said it was something like, "Make up, shake up, and to bed we go." Well, at least these three young men were very valuable to Nebuchadnezzar, and he appointed them to quite high positions in the city and province of Babylon. Well, you can imagine, because they were Jews, they were foreigners, they came from another country, the local wise men were very jealous to think that they had been appointed to such high positions. And so they were determined to try and do something to upset the apple cart, as we say. Well, now, about this time, Nebuchadnezzar, who was rather a strange person in some ways, decided to build a great model of a man of gold. Can you imagine building a statue out of gold? It's very hard to believe. The thing was 90 feet high and 9 feet wide at the bottom. Now, can you imagine what that would be worth in gold today? I don't know, millions and millions and millions. But anyway, he built this great statue because he wanted to sort of get everybody worshiping this god. I don't know what it looked like. I sometimes wonder whether it wasn't sort of a statue of himself, because he thought of himself as a god. But anyway, a proclamation was given throughout the whole empire, all across these different countries ruled by Babylon. And the idea was that when certain musical instruments were played, everybody had to bow down to this great god that Nebuchadnezzar had set up in what was called the Plain of Dura. Well, that wasn't a problem to most people, because they were pretty well all used to worshipping idols. But you can imagine, this was a real challenge for our three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were Jews. They believed in the God of heaven. They rejected idolatry. They weren't going to worship anything, including Nebuchadnezzar's great statue or idol, whatever it was. Well, the other counselors, who were jealous of our three friends, they went to Nebuchadnezzar because they realized the Jews were not bowing down to his idol. And they said, King Nebuchadnezzar, do you know, you appointed those three men to be in charge of affairs in the province of Babylon, and they aren't obeying your command to worship your great image. You said that if anybody didn't bow down to your image, they would be thrown into the fiery furnace. Oh boy. When Nebuchadnezzar heard that, he was really angry. And he called for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to come to the palace. And when they arrived, he called them by name and he said, Now listen, I hear that you aren't willing to bow down to my great gold idol. And you know what can happen to people who don't do that? They're thrown into the fiery furnace. Now, is this true? You know, you still have a chance to change your minds. If, when you hear the music next time, you're willing to bow down, then, okay, everything will be all right. But if you refuse, you will be thrown into the fiery furnace. And they said, Well, King Nebuchadnezzar, we don't have any hesitation to give you an answer to this problem. We will not bow down to your image. We believe that our God is able to deliver us. See, there's the word. God is able. Our God is able to deliver us, and he will. Oh boy, they had real confidence, didn't they? They were sure that they could trust God. It really took faith, didn't it? Anyway, there was the idol, and here were these three Jewish men. And they absolutely refused to bow down to that strange image. And so Nebuchadnezzar called the strong men from his army, and he had the three friends bound up. They had their clothes on, even their hats on, if you read the story. And along come the strongest men in Nebuchadnezzar's army. And he told them, Now heat up that furnace 7 times hotter than usual. And then I want you to throw these three men into the furnace. And you know, it was so hot that when the men threw the three friends into the furnace, the fire actually burned them up. But strangely enough, as the men fell into the furnace, evidently, Nebuchadnezzar was watching from a distance. He was so surprised to see that instead of them burning to ashes immediately, they were walking around. And their bondage was the ties that they'd put around them. They were all snapped. And they were just as free as they could be, and they weren't burning. It says that not even a hair of their head was singed. And strangely enough, Nebuchadnezzar called the men who were still there and he said, Now when we put these men into the furnace, weren't there three? Oh yes, they said, we're sure of that. Well, he said, I see four men walking in the furnace. And the fourth one looks like a son of the gods. Oh, it was so weird as far as he was concerned. And he was so surprised that he sat up and he yelled out, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come on out of that furnace. Come on over here. And they came out, stood in front of the king. And You couldn't even smell fire on their clothes. And he said to them, "Is your God able to deliver you from the fire?" "Oh, yes," they said, "our God is able, and he has delivered us." Well, it was a great challenge to face. Everybody had to bow down to the idol, or else be cast into the furnace. But these three men, and they were young men, they faced the challenge with confidence. Think of those words. The challenge of the fire, the confidence of these men. And here they stood before the king. And it says that the other people who had tried to cause this to happen, they stood there, I guess, with their mouths open. They couldn't believe it. God had delivered these men. Well, Nebuchadnezzar, he not only praised the God of heaven, but he promoted these three men to other offices in the city of Babylon. He recognized that all the gods that he had around, including this great image that he had built 90 feet high, they were impotent. They were just things, whether they were made of wood or stone or even gold. So here we have the contrast between the idols that men make and the God who rules over the whole universe, the God who is the one we worship today, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So these young men, facing a challenge, made the choice, and God honored their faith. Now remember, at the beginning we talked about God being able to do even anything beyond we can imagine, if it's something in his will. Now, sometimes when we pray, God doesn't always seem to answer our prayers in the way we would like. But just remember this, God not only is able to do all things, but he knows all things, and he knows what is best for us. And there are times, and there will be more, when we face great challenges, and when we have to make a choice. Are we going to follow the ways of the world? Are we going to walk selfishly and do our own thing? Or are we going to serve the God who is over all, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ? We all have to make a decision. And it's wonderful when we're young, middle-aged, or old, to have such confidence in God that we can say, "Our God is able." Now there's another verse in Hebrews, I think it's chapter 7. It says, "He is able to save to the uttermost," or "save completely," as the word really means, "all those who come unto him through the Lord Jesus." Because we have a high priest who lives forever. Now, if you read in the context in Hebrews chapter 7, the writer is talking about the fact that in Israel they had high priests, but of course they were human, and the time came when they died. But he's contrasting that with the Lord Jesus. He says, "We have a high priest who lives in the power of an endless life, and he is the one who intercedes for us." Now remember, He is able to save to the uttermost. As one preacher said, he's able to save to the guttermost. Doesn't matter whether you're high or low. Doesn't matter what color you are. Doesn't matter what culture you come from. It doesn't matter how good you think you are. Remember this. We are all sinners. And we want the Lord to save us. We need the Lord to save us. We can't save ourselves. We can't put things right in our own lives without the help of the Lord Jesus. So remember, He is able to save completely. Save us from the power of sin, the penalty of sin, and the guilt of sin. He is able to save. So let's remember those wonderful verses and remember the story of the three friends of Daniel. What did they say to the king? O king, we will not obey your command. But our God is able to deliver us, and He will. So as we think of these words, let me encourage you to renew your confidence in God. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. Remember that. That's another verse from Genesis. Nothing too hard for the Lord. And He is able to help you today. I don't know what your problem is particularly, but I know that God is able to help you. He can do far more exceedingly abundantly than anything we can imagine. Be very hard to think of anything harder than being thrown into a fiery furnace, wouldn't it? But those three men came out because they trusted in God, who is able to do all things. So as we come to the conclusion of our little talk this morning, I'd like to remind you of a wonderful verse that you find right at the end of the Bible in the book of Jude, the Epistle of Jude, we call it, and it's verse 24. It says that our God is able to keep us, able to make us stand. And the prayer goes this way: Now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Unto our God be glory and majesty and power and dominion, both now and forever. Amen. Well, thank you for listening, and may God bless you today. And don't forget, God is able, and you can put your faith in Him. If you've never done it before, put your faith in the Lord Jesus today. But many of you have put your faith in the Lord a long time ago, but don't forget, renew your confidence in Him today. Thank you.